Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Chinese Sayings Podcast. This is Laszlo Montgomery here with the fourth offering I have for you in this Season 8. This one's going to take some time, but it's another great 3rd century BC story that was handed down to us by Sima Qian, El Gran Historiador. This one comes from the chapter Xiang Yu Ben, The Chronicles of the Life of Xiang Yu. This is one of those 8-character Cheng Yus, 4 plus 4. We haven't had one of those since Sai Wang Sher Ma Yen Zhe Fei Fu in Season 6. Quite a stellar cast in this story, Lucky Liu Bang and Xiang Yu, and I'm not talking about the rapper from Taiwan either, the real Xiang Yu. And the third big name is Liu Bang's trusted advisor Zhang Liang. He was one of the Han Chu San Jie, the three heroes of the early Han Dynasty, Han Xin and Xiao He being the other two. Now before we go any further, let's break this 8-syllable Cheng Yu down into its constituent parts. Xiang Zhuang Wu Jian, Yi Zai Pei Gong. Wow, that's a mouthful. Okay, the first two characters, Xiang Zhuang, that's a person's name. He was both a close advisor and a relative of the Chu King Xiang Yu. And a Wu Jian, well, that's a sword dance. You could also say Jian Wu. A Jian is a sword, and Wu is to dance. You've seen these. These sword dances are something that are part of traditions all over the world, in Africa, Asia, and Europe. And in China, sword dances are one of the many manifestations of Chinese culture. You could see them often in Chinese opera. So, Xiang Zhuang Wu Jian, Xiang Zhuang sword dance. The next four characters, Yi Zai Pei Gong. Yi Zai means to intend to or intended to. And the final two characters, Pei Gong, well, that's another person's name. Before Liu Bang became the founding emperor of the Han Dynasty, one of his titles was the Duke of Pei, Pei Gong. The Duke of Pei, it was a little inside joke of Liu Bang. He came from a place called Pei County, just to the north of Xuzhou in northwest Jiangsu province. No one gave him that title, he just gave it to himself. So when you line everything up, we get Xiang Zhuang sword dance intention, the Duke of Pei. Sounds dangerous, but without knowing the following story, this one is kind of a head-scratcher. So this one takes time to tell, so let's get it right. Anyone familiar with late Qin Dynasty Han history, and especially the Chu Han contention, you know this story inside out from 206 BC of the Banquet at Hongmen. If you recall from past episodes, in 206 BC, rebel forces led by Xiang Yu overthrew the Qin dynasty at the Battle of Julu. As the majority of the Qin army was engaging Xiang Yu's great army at Julu, the Qin capital of Xianyang was left poorly defended. A smaller rebel contingent led by Liu Bang, the Duke of Pei, seized this opportunity to enter and occupy Xianyang, that's modern-day Xi'an. At this juncture, a spy within Liu Bang's forces sent a message to Xiang Yu telling him, "The Duke of Pei is scheming to take over China. With the region of Guangzhou, including the capital of Xianyang, in his control, he will install the last Qin Emperor Ziying as his prime minister. All the riches of the area will be his." Guangzhou, which translates to "between the passes," is one of the historical regions of ancient China. It's located in the center of today's Shanxi province, including the city of Xianyang, which was later called Chang'an. This plain is surrounded by 4 mountain passes, Hangu in the east, Wu in the southeast, Xiao in the northwest, and Dasan in the west. I've been watching the great drama series Da Qin Di Guo, and these mountain passes are mentioned often and were always crucial to the defense of the Qin state and later empire. Xiang Yu was furious that Liu Bang had pulled a fast one like this. He ordered his forces to prepare to set out the very next day to crush Liu Bang's army. At the time, Xiang Yu commanded 400,000 troops from his base at Hongmen, also known as Swan Goose Gate. Liu Bang had perhaps a quarter of the troops of Xiang Yu. Xiang Yu's advisor, Fan Zeng, said to Xiang Yu, "When the Duke of Pei was at home in Shandong, he was a greedy and lustful man, thinking only of riches and concubines. Now that he has occupied Guanzhong, he has given up all thought of wealth and women. From this, you can see that he is serious in his ambition. I have also sent men to observe the skies over his base, and they speak of clouds shaped like dragons and tigers, such as appear when a new emperor is about to be crowned. My lord, you must strike now before the Duke of Pei becomes more powerful. Now Xiang Yu's uncle, Xiang Bo, he was good friends with an advisor in Liu Bang's army named Zhang Liang. When Xiang Bo learned of Xiang Yu's plan to destroy Liu Bang's forces, he grew worried for Zhang Liang's safety. In a desperate attempt to reconcile the two sides of Chu and Han, Xiang Bo leapt on his horse and rushed overnight to Liu Bang's camp. And once there, he gave them the lowdown on what was about to happen, and he begged Zhang Liang to escape with him. In response to these pleas, Zhang Liang said, "It would be disloyal of me to abandon Liu Bang now." And he at once entered Liu Bang's tent and informed him of Xiang Yu's impending attack. Alarmed, Liu Bang exclaimed, "Well, what should we do?" Zhang Liang replied, "My lord, who advised you to take over Xianyang without Xiang Yu in this manner?" Liu Bang said regretfully, "A petty advisor told me, take over Xianyang, and from there you'll be able to take over all the Qin lands." So I took his word for it. Zhang Liang said, "Well, do you think you'll be able to hold off Xiang Yu with your current forces?" Liu Bang answered, "My army is no match for his." Zhang Liang replied, "My lord, I ask you to give me leave to tell my friend Xiang Bo that you had no motive of challenging Xiang Yu by entering Xianyang." Liu Bang said, "I didn't know you were on friendly terms with Xiang Bo. Bring him in this minute, and I will receive him as I would my own elder brother." When Xiang Bo came in to meet Liu Bang, Liu Bang welcomed him with his best wine and even drew up a marriage contract between their two children. And then he said, "When I entered Xianyang, I dared not do much without receiving orders from my superior, Xiang Yu. All I did was to take a census of the capital's population and secure the granaries. Then I told my troops to settle down and await Xiang Yu's arrival. Meanwhile, my army has been guarding the region from thieves and bandits, and we have been looking for Xiang Yu day and night. I've had no thought of rebelling against him, and I hope you'll tell him so at once." Xiang Bo promised he would, and he told Liu Bang, "You must come as early as you possibly can tomorrow and inform Xiang Yu yourself." Liu Bang gave his word, and Xiang Bo leapt back onto his horse and rode overnight back to Xiang Yu's camp, 50 kilometers away to the east, where he told Xiang Yu what Liu Bang had said. And he added, "Out of all the rebels, the Duke of Pei has made the first foray into the region of Guanzhong. If it weren't for his efforts, your own forces could hardly have entered this crucial area. What thanks would it be for his bravery if you crushed his army? Instead, you should receive him kindly." Xiang Yu, who was quick to temper but quick to forgive, immediately agreed to Xiang Bo's word. Thus, when Liu Bang rode into Xiang Yu's camp at Hongmen, he found a friendly welcome awaiting him. Liu Bang explained to Xiang Yu, "My lord, your humble servant joined forces with you to rebel against the Qin. You won the region north of the river and the region south of the river by a trick of fate and through no scheme of my own. I was the first to enter the capital at Xianyang, and now that I have reunited with you, I hope you will not believe the evil rumors spread about my intentions in entering the capital without you." Xiang Yu replied, "It was a petty spy who brought me the message that you had delusions of grandeur, or I would never have even considered acting violently against you." And then he ordered a feast to be prepared in honor of Liu Bang, and the principal guests at this feast were Xiang Yu himself, his advisors Xiang Bo and Fan Zeng, and Liu Bang and his advisor Zhang Liang. Fan Zeng, Xiang Yu's advisor, who had originally pushed for military action against Liu Bang, made several signs to Xiang Yu over the course of the banquet, signaling him to have Liu Bang assassinated now that he was finally within his grasp. But Xiang Yu kept pretending to see nothing. Desperate, Fan Zeng left the room and went to speak to Xiang Zhuang. He said to him, "Lord Xiang has mistakenly decided to forgive Liu Bang and to show mercy. The work of assassinating him now falls on you. This is what you need to do. Enter the banquet hall on the pretext of offering wine to Lord Xiang. And when you have done this, offer to perform a sword dance for the guests at the feast. And in the course of this dance, as soon as you get the opportunity, you take that sword and plunge it into Liu Bang. If we don't get rid of him now when we have the chance, he will surely come to power, and we will all become his captives in the course of time. Xiang Zhuang did just as Fan Zeng suggested, entering to make his toasts to his leader. After these were complete, he said, "Well, this isn't much of a real feast. There's no entertainment at all. What if I were to perform a sword dance for you and your honored guests?" Xiang Yu agreed, and Xiang Zhuang unsheathed his sword. Suspecting mischief, Xiang Bo unsheathed his sword and joined Xiang Zhuang in performing a sword dance. He had an idea what Xiang Zhuang was up to and made sure to be positioned in such a way that whenever Xiang Zhuang's blade got too close to Liu Bang, he would make sure to catch it with his own blade and to shield Liu Bang's body with his own. Seeing that the situation was desperate and that the Duke of Pei's life was in danger, Zhang Liang made excuses and went outside to speak to another of Liu Bang's advisors, Fan Kuai. Fan Kuai hurriedly asked, "How are things inside the tent?" Zhang Liang replied, "Desperate indeed. Xiang Zhuang is right in the middle of performing a sword dance, but his weapon often comes too close to the Duke of Pei for my liking." Fan Kuai replied, "There isn't a moment to lose. I will live and die with the Duke of Pei." Saying this, he made to go inside the banquet tent, fully armed. Xiang Yu's guard tried to bar his entry, but he pushed them aside with his sword and shield and burst into the tent, panting and glaring at Xiang Yu, and all his hair standing on end. Xiang Yu's hand went to the hilt of his sword, and he cried, "Who is this intruder?" Zhang Liang quickly explained, "This is one of the Duke of Pei's advisors, Fan Kuai." "What a brave-looking warrior," said Xiang Yu, his fears assuaged. "Give him wine." Fan Kuai drank down the decanter of wine in one gulp. Impressed, Xiang Yu ordered, "Give him some meat." A whole leg of pork, not yet cooked fully through, was laid in front of Fan Kuai. Using his shield as a plate, Fan Kuai, without any fear of contracting trichinosis, made quick work of the meat with the aid of his sword. "Wow, brave warrior indeed," exclaimed Xiang Yu. "Can you handle another drink?" "A drink?" replied Fan Kuai. "I'm not afraid of death, to say nothing of another drink. I came to speak to you of the Qin Emperor, who had the heart of a wolf or a tiger, cruel enough to massacre people at his slightest whim. There were not enough people in all the land to satisfy his murderous will. Thus, all under heaven rebelled against him. When we set off on our mission against the Qin, we were told, 'He who first enters Xianyang will surely become the new lord of all under heaven.' Thus, when the Duke of Pei captured Xianyang, in deference to your authority, he refused to lay a finger on it except to shut off the palaces and granaries, and to guard Xianyang's passes against bandits and thieves. Now his armies have retreated to Bashang to await your arrival in Xianyang. All this he has done, and you have not rewarded him with lands or titles, but have instead chosen to believe the word of petty thieves and spies. Indeed, you were on the point of sicking your armies on him. This is exactly the sort of behavior that brought about the Qin Emperor's downfall. He who wishes to be China's new emperor should never resort to it." Xiang Yu had no reply to this, so he ordered Fan Kuai to sit. Fan Kuai accordingly sat by Zhang Liang, but not long after this, Liu Bang excused himself to go relieve his bladder. Whereupon Fan Kuai followed him outside the tent and begged him to escape at once from Xiang Yu's camp, as they all feared for his life. After the two men had talked for a time, Xiang Yu sent a messenger to summon them back to the feast. Liu Bang said, "How can I escape at once without taking my leave of Xiang Yu?" Fan Kuai said, "The matter at hand is too important for dilly-dallying, and in the pursuit of larger ends, small transgressions are excusable. Right now, they are the cleaver and chopping board, and we are morsels of meat and fish. How can you think of matters of etiquette?" Liu Bang saw that Fan Kuai was right, and the two men decided to flee Hongmen on horseback without further ado, leaving behind their carriages and entourage. Liu Bang asked Zhang Liang to stay and soften his sudden absence with the gift of a pair of fine jades. "My camp and Xiang Yu's are only 40 li apart. Wait till I have ridden halfway there, and then make my excuses. Zhang Liang waited for the time it took for a horse to gallop 20 li, and then he re-entered the banquet to tell Xiang Yu that Liu Bang had begged him to take leave of Xiang Yu on his behalf, since Liu Bang could not handle his drink. Xiang Yu accepted these excuses, but his advisor Fan Zeng was furious. "I curse the day I came into Xiang Yu's employ. The man is truly not a worthy commander," he ranted. "How could he be so blind as to let Liu Bang escape from under his very eye? The man who takes all under heaven from Xiang Yu will be Liu Bang, and from this day on, I am no better than Liu Bang's captive." Well, you know the rest. In this act carried out at Hongmen, Swan Goose Gate, the civil war remembered as the Chu Han Xiang Zheng, the Chu Han contention, pitted the forces of Xiang Yu against Liu Bang, and these two fought it out over a period of years, lasting from 206 to 202 BC. And just as was predicted by Xiang Yu's advisors, indeed, Liu Bang emerged victorious, crushing Xiang Yu's army at Gaixia in northern Anhui province. And this is where Xiang Yu fell to Liu Bang and committed suicide. And the year 202 BC became a milestone in Chinese history, for this was the year the Han Dynasty was established. So, Xiang Zhuang Wu Jian, Yi Zai Pei Gong. Xiang Zhuang performs a sword dance with the intention to harm the Duke of Pei. And from this famous story from ancient times, this Cheng Yu has come to mean someone is acting with a hidden motive. If you see yourself getting set up for a fall, or someone appears to be helping you but they're actually plotting your demise, you can say these guys are Xiang Zhuang Wu Jian, Yi Zai Pei Gong. These eight syllables can be used metaphorically to describe any deceptive or hidden agenda behind someone's actions or words. It implies that while someone may appear friendly and benign, their true intentions are to do you harm. When you see your friend walking into a possible trap, you can remind them, "Hey, Xiang Zhuang Wu Jian, Yi Zai Pei Gong." And if they're familiar with the story behind this great Cheng Yu, they'll know to stay vigilant and not be fooled by appearances. So there you have it. Xiang Zhuang Wu Jian, Yi Zai Pei Gong. Xiang Zhuang doing that sword dance, aiming to do irreparable harm to the Duke of Pei. And had he succeeded, we may never have had a Han Dynasty. Perhaps it would have been the Chu Dynasty instead. There was a movie made about this Hongmen Yen, this banquet at Hongmen in 2011. The English title was White Vengeance. I'll put a link at the show notes if you want to check it out. I found it on YouTube. Okay, Emma at the Cheng Yu Yanjiu Zhongxin gets another gold star. Thanks as always, Xiao Liu, for making this one easy. Until the next time, this here's Lazlo Montgomery thanking you for listening and welcome you to come back again next time for another illuminating episode of the Chinese Sayings Podcast.